Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, a Chicago craft brewery that works to innovate new ways to brew and age beer. More at gooseisland.com. You don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
This is Sound Opinions, and we'll have our DJ sets for 2018 in a bit. But first, Greg, we have to pay tribute to some of the musicians we've lost this year.
Indeed we do, Jim. A year for deaths in the rock and soul and hip-hop communities. I mean, we have lost some giants, notably Aretha Franklin, Dolores O'Riordan of the Cranberries, the great South African trumpeter Hugh Masekela, Pete Shelley of the Buzzcocks just recently died. That was a huge blow. Today, we're going to cover some of the people we weren't able to mention in our previous shows. I'm going to start us off, Jim, by talking a little bit about Clarence Fountain of the Five Blind Boys of Alabama. He died on June 3rd at the age of 88. I'm a huge fan of the Blind Boys of Alabama, in particular, the material they recorded in the 40s and 50s. You know, I have this pet theory of mine that
gospel... Usually I'm the one with the theories.
Well, I mean, to me, the roots of what we know as rock and roll can be found in gospel music in the 40s. A lot of people talk about they brought together blues and country. And I said, you know, the third element in there is gospel.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, those gospel records of the 40s sound more rock and roll than some of the swill they put out as rock and roll in the 50s, you know? It rocked harder.
Yeah.
The Five Blind Boys of Alabama were one of the forerunners of that sound. There was a, what you would call a jubilee harmony style of gospel singing that was a little bit more refined that initially the Five Blind Boys of Alabama were specializing in. But then they really kind of pioneered that harder gospel sound. They became known as house wreckers. Every time you saw the Blind Boys of Alabama perform, it was like you wanted to wreck the house because they would get the congregation out of its seats and
jumping
people
up
were
and
celebrating
down
in the aisles. And you had a sense of urgency in their music and spiritual ecstasy that was a new thing in gospel music during that era. Now, they later on became, Grammy-winning artists. They were collaborating with pop and rock artists like Lou Reed and Bonnie Raitt and Willie Nelson and Neil Diamond and Tom Waits and on, well-respected and had become truly universally loved artists on many levels beyond the gospel realm. But I think it's the hardcore stuff from those early days that is the essence of what Clarence Fountain and the Five Blind Boys of Alabama were doing. Their first big hit was in the late 40s on the Chicago-based VJ label, I Can See Everybody's Mother But Mine. And I wanted to play a live recording of that performance from those early days. Here's the Five Blind Boys of Alabama with Clarence Fountain on lead with I Can See Everybody's Mother But Mine.
Everybody's mother. Lord, I just can't find mine. Everybody's mother, children. But Lord, I just can't find mine. I wonder, can I get a witness here? I want to sing this verse. Says sometimes I get to wondering, dear sweet mine, my darling mother,
That is the late Clarence Fountain, dead at the age of 88, with the Blind Boys of Alabama, their classic I Can See Everybody's Mother But Mine.
You gotta love that, Greg.
Oh, man, that stuff just gets me. Talk about house wrecking stuff, you know? It'll get you out of your seat for sure. Tony Joe White was another artist I wanted to mention whose death hit us this year. Age 75, died back in October. People know him primarily for two songs, Poke Salad Annie, which he turned into a hit, but it was an even bigger hit for Elvis Presley. Mm-hmm. And Presley made it a part of his set list ever since he recorded it in the late 60s.
Poke Salad Annie, you got your granny. Everybody said it was a shame. Obama was a-working on the chain gang.
And the other classic that Tony Joe White wrote was Rainy Night in Georgia, which I absolutely love, in the version that was recorded by soul singer Brooke Benton. I have played that on the show previously. So I didn't want to focus on the stuff that he was best known for. I wanted to focus on the fact that this guy wrote dozens and dozens of other songs that were equally worthy. And his early records, I would particularly recommend seeking out his recordings from the late 60s into the early 70s, are loaded with great songs, where he talked about Southern life in a very plain-spoken style. He wasn't talking about spectacular events. He was talking more about how people lived in the South as he was growing up. And one of his greatest songs, I think, is from the Black and White album in 1969. It's a song called Willie and Laura Mae Jones, in which he talks about how rural whites and rural blacks spoke to each other and interacted with each other during this era. It wasn't all about racism because, you know, Tony Joe White was raised in the South. And he had many friends, and his family had many friends who were black, and vice versa. There was a shared sense of we're all working these kind of tough jobs together, sharecropping, working these farms, not really getting anywhere economically, but finding friendship and a common bond through our work and through our music. He would sit around, his family and his neighbor's family, black neighbors that they had, would sit around and play music together after a hard day at work. And this song celebrates that sense of camaraderie. Willie and Laura Mae Jones from the late Tony Joe White on Sound Opinions.
I remember we'd hitch up the mules when Saturday rolled around. We'd always stop by Willie's house and say, do y'all need anything from town? And he'd say, no, but why don't y'all stop on your way back home? And I'll get Laura Mae to cook up some corn pones, and you know they're good. Oh, wow, the cotton was high and the corn was growing fine. But that was another place and another time.
That's Willie and Laura Mae Jones from Tony Joe White, dead at the age of 75. Jim, you've got some people you want to pay tribute to as well.
Well, Greg, you know, the drummers often get overlooked when it comes to obits and everything else. I want to give the drummer some. Four of my favorites that we lost this year. Vinnie Paul co-founded Pantera with his brother of the famous name, Dimebag Darrell, in Texas in the early 80s. Pantera followed that first wave of thrash metal in the States, Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax, and took it somewhere different. At first, not a remarkable band, you know, wannabe glam hair metal. And then they got into this sort of Texas groove thing. These were bikers. They looked like it. They smelled like it. I spent a 12-hour day with Pantera once to do a story about the roadies erecting a stage for a major arena concert and then tearing it down at the end of the day. They couldn't have been sweeter, right? But boy, did they look scary. and they brought this sort of swagger and country swing groove to the metal assault. Never better than Cowboys from Hell.
Your eyes will see the dawn of the day.
And another drummer we lost, Greg, was Nick Knox, longtime drummer for the psychobilly band The Cramps, Lux Interior died several years ago. Tremendous loss to fans of this ferocious, weird, psychedelic, strange, underground punk and rockabilly mix. Nick Knox powered that drum set for the longest of any of the Cramps drummers. There were numerous of them. He replaced Miriam Linna, who started in the band, became a great rock historian and a record label archivist. He was a simple drummer, and that's what the Cramps needed, because what was happening up front with Lux Interior and Poison Ivy was all the chaos. He was the anchor, played on Psychedelic Jungle, A Date with Elvis, the wonderfully named Stay Sick with the exclamation point. I've got two more drummers I want to talk about, Greg, and they, in many ways, wrote the book for the styles of music they played. DJ Fontana was 87 years old. We just lost him. He died in Nashville. He played drums with Elvis Presley for 14 years. He backed Elvis on that famous Ed Sullivan show, and he backed Elvis for the 68 comeback special. You can even see him pounding the drums in the movies Loving You, Jailhouse Rock, G.I. Blues. 450 recordings, all right? Again, a very simple drummer, bringing a sort of country swing to that nascent rock and roll beat. And there's gospel in there, and there's blues in there. Everything that Elvis was powered by DJ Fontana. Had a great career after Elvis, too, as a session drummer in Nashville, played with Waylon Jennings, Dolly Parton, Steve Earle, got back together several times later in his career with Scotty Moore, the great guitarist who powered Elvis for many years. I think he's really going to be missed. And just name an Elvis hit from that first period in the 50s all the way through the 60s, and he's on it. Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Every bit as influential, Greg, is J-Bo Starks, the drummer for James Brown. He is dead at the age of 79, died in his home in Mobile, Alabama. Now, we paid tribute several years ago to Clyde Stubblefield. They were a duo, right? Often on stage, two drummers at a time. J-Bo Starks brought the blues. He grew up in the blues. Clyde Stubblefield, the funky drummer, was more from the funk and soul tip when they came together. You know, J-Bo's laying down the backbeat, and you had to be on, because otherwise Mr. Brown fined you, right? And Clyde was able to do some of the filigree. They worked together wonderfully. They also had a duo afterwards, after the James Brown years, called the Funkmasters. Along with Clyde Stubblefield, I would say J-Bo has lived on in more samples than any other drummer in the history of popular music. Because when you think of the number of hip-hop bands that have sampled the breakbeats and the drum breaks, you know, it's J-Bo that's playing on the Payback, Superbad, and, of course, Get Up, I Feel Like Being a Sex Machine.
Got my dig it. He got his. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Stay on the scene. I want to count it off one more time. Yeah.
Go ahead. Though.
You want to hit it like it did on the top, fellas? Hit it like it did on the top. Hit it now. Get on up.
Get on up.
Get up. Machine,
get on up,
get up,
get on up,
taste,
get on up,
a piano,
get on up,
taste,
get on up,
a piano,
get on up.
Now we want to hear from you. Which musicians that died this year are you mourning? Call and leave a message on our hotline, 888-859-1800. Coming up, Jim and I play DJ sets of our mixtapes. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.